This is Gary Wakefield, and you're listening to Queer Life Stories.
My name is Trent Marriott. I suppose I live here in Burnie. I grew up in Queenstown on the west coast of Tasmania. Lived there until I was like, until I was 16 when I finished high school. And then I moved away to Devonport for 2 years and went to Don College, just to further education, I suppose. And then moved over to the Gold Coast for a year after that. Spent a year over there, then moved back to Queenstown for a couple of years, moved to Devonport again, and then moved over to Burnie. So yeah, just been around a little bit here and everywhere. So yeah.
So how old are you now?
I just turned 25.
Oh.
So yeah.
Birthday cards?
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah. Like a week ago. Yeah. Queenstown's not the greatest place to grow up. I mean, it was fine. It was just pretty much just growing up with, you know, just friends, just, you know, walking around town. There wasn't a whole great thing to do. I mean, there was stuff on the weekends, like, you know, like other activities and like sports, like, you know, being able to go play basketball or just like, you know, go and watch friends play sport and, just hanging out, going to the pool, just going on walks and things like that. So just a pretty average and normal childhood, I suppose. Yeah. Maybe when I was in around year eight, I kind of started to realise that I wasn't straight. For quite a while, I did think of myself as bisexual. Kind of grew up around other guys, and just I was quite around girls a lot of the time. I did grow up with a lot of girls. I never really had any guy friends, but did start to notice guys and stuff like that. But probably wasn't until I was probably a little bit after college, I realised that I wasn't straight or bisexual. Was kind of when I was realising that I was identify as gay. So. Ben, I think it was just like, you know, around school there was like all these, you know, jockey guys that were around, like a lot of them that played like football and stuff like that, and like you'd just see them and I was like, okay, like he's quite attractive, but then like there were girls and like, oh yeah, she's quite attractive as well. So, but then yeah, as like growing up, it was like, okay, it's girls are a no-no for me. So then it was just, yeah, I was like, okay, I think, yeah, I'm more attracted to the guys than anything, so yeah. But yeah, I was just kind of much just looking to see what was out there, so yeah.
Did you have relationships with women before you?
Very brief relationship. That was probably one where I probably dated a girl for like a month, and probably at the same time I liked this other guy at the same time, and it was like, okay, this is probably a little bit too hard, not fair on that other person. And I was like, hey, maybe this isn't really for me. I think I like the guy more than I like the girl. And just kind of ended after a couple of weeks. So yeah, it was very brief encounter. I thought I was in denial quite for some stage. And then, you know, growing up in Queenstown, it wasn't probably the easiest place to grow up. I got quite, not a lot of backlash, but you know, just quite a little bit of bullying. And then it was like me just trying to tell them, no, I'm not gay, I know, I like girls. I've never had any physical bullying. My school was like, obviously, you know, no bullying. Well, I suppose with any school, no bullying tolerance. So I've never had any physical abuse or anything like that. It was more verbal, like you get your, you know, you're a faggot, you're a poofter, you're gay, you're homo. I told one of my cousins when I was about 15, I told her and she was quite accepting of it. A year later, I did tell my mum. Took her a little bit of time for her to come around to it. Well, not too much, my mum accepted it. And she told my sisters and they both accepted it. So, and then it wasn't until I had my first boyfriend that I started to fully come out. I thought, well, this is probably now the time for me to be open and honest about who I am. So I had gotten to a relationship. And then it was when my dad found out, my mum told my dad. I was probably a little bit too scared to tell my dad, as any boy would be to tell their dad that they're gay. So that was probably when I was about, I think it was about 1920, I think this was around. Yeah, so quite later on in life. My dad took it well, but to an extent, I suppose. He kind of thought it was gonna kind of ruin our relationship as father and son, but it didn't. My dad's relationship has never been any better, which was good, which I was actually quite happy about. So yeah, my mum ended up telling him, and he didn't want to talk about it. He didn't want to know about it to start off with. And then I got home from work one day and we kind of just sat down and he said to me, you know, this could ruin our relationship. And I said to him, I said, well, yeah, it could. I said, but it doesn't have to. And then it kind of just, we just left it at that. And then, yeah, me and my dad had never been any better ever since. We've been better ever since. So yeah. So I suppose I was one of the lucky ones, I suppose. I mean, my dad now is very, very welcome. Like, he is a very welcoming person. Probably doesn't come across as very welcoming, but like, he's like asked about my current relationship now and everything, and like, you know, has a little bit more to do with it than what he used to, so, which was good. Very mining, small mining town. Everyone there is quite blokey, and it's not something that's, it never used to be something that was like a very out thing, I should say. So, but yeah, so it, well, I didn't have like a lot of, I wouldn't say family support, but family people that I could go to kind of help me understand it all. So yeah. Someone that was friends with a group of my friends, not that he didn't come out until later on in life, but there was always that kind of little inkling that he was. But I was like, me at the time, I was like, I'm obviously not gonna, you know, accuse him of that, because I didn't want people to accuse me of it. There was just a thought, but not so many. No, there's probably like the one here or there, but yeah. Very rare down there.
Isolating.
Yeah, very isolating. Yeah. So it was good that when I first moved out that I kind of had a little bit of freedom, a little bit of I was able to kind of be myself a little bit more in other towns that I suppose were more accepting and things like that. Not that Queenstown wasn't accepting, but just being able to be a little bit more open in other places than down there. So yeah. Mm. I mean, moving all the way from Queenstown to Devonport, knowing absolutely no one, was kind of scary. But within the first 2 days, I made friends out easily in my classes, and you know, I made met other gay people, and you know, just a lot of other supportive people, and yeah, just like mixed with different crowds and stuff like that. So it was quite easy to just not say blend in, but just mesh well with other people. So just not small town people, just other people. So yeah, it was good. First hookup was like a little bit weird. It was a guy that I was friends with. It was kind of a little bit forced. He wanted to do things with me that I didn't want to do. And I thought at that point, I was like, this is like, you know, the first time I'm ever experiencing something like this. I don't want to just go and rush into something. I kind of wanted to kind of experiment, I suppose, just to kind of see how things go. I mean, it was kind of, I didn't want to do it all in one go. I just wanted to kind of just see how things went. But then I didn't talk to him after that, because I was like, you're an asshole. So probably through the couple of years that I was at Don, I was able to kind of understand a little bit more about who I was as a gay person. Kind of, you know, figuring out what I'm into, what I like, and all that kind of stuff. And then My first relationship was a little bit difficult. I wouldn't say difficult. It was a long distance relationship. So I moved back to Queenstown at this point. This was after I moved back from the Gold Coast, I moved back to Queenstown, and then it was a guy that I knew from when I was at Don College, and he was living in Devonport, and it was a bit of a long distance relationship, and I didn't have my license at the time because I always had my parents and sisters run me around, so I was like, I don't need my license. But then I met him, and you know, I was there very so often. I got to catch up with him, and it was just I'm gonna have to say it was boring. It was quite not what I thought a relationship was. I thought I did love him, but I think I just loved the idea of him. But yeah, it was just that probably ended after like 6-7 months. It just wasn't working out, and then yeah, so then
like most first relationships.
Yeah, pretty much like most first relationships. Yeah, I mean, he was a good guy. I will give him that. I don't have many bad things to say about him, but yeah, it just wasn't probably what I thought it was going to be. So yeah. Oddly enough, he added me on Facebook probably about 2 years ago. And then I suppose with Tassie being Tassie, it's a very small place and every gay guy knows every gay guy. So you kind of just kind of know the crowd, I suppose. He added me on Facebook a long time ago, and then he lives in Hobart. So I was down in Hobart probably back in January. And then we've seen each other like in the city a couple of times, and you know, kind of just those quite glances, because I thought, oh, I know who he is, and he knew who I was, and we were actually we worked out that we were both waiting for each other to message each other, but none of us did, none of us made the move. And then it was probably like a few months after that he actually did started to message me, and then we were talking for quite a while and wanting to meet up and catch up, and being the busy people that we are, it probably took us quite a while to be able to meet up. So I went down to Hobart and I met up with him and spent the weekend with him and did the whole cliche. He took me out for dinner and everything and all that kind of stuff. And then he came up and visited me quite a few times, and then it just wound up in a relationship. So, yeah.
So he's still in Hobart?
He is still in Hobart.
So you're doing long distance again?
We are, yeah. There's no one around here. I can't find anyone around here. But I think the long distance works for us, especially with the life that he lives and the life that I live, it works. I mean, as hard as it is to be away from each other for like probably like every week or something, it just seems to work for us. But it gets better each time we can see each other. So yeah, like it makes it all worth it. There was a couple of years ago, I went back home to Queenstown. I was actually still living down there, sorry. And I went to this party at someone's house, and, you know, small town people are just very small minded and just don't have any other opinions but negative ones. I went to this party and I was standing outside and just having a good time, just drinking with friends and standing at the fire pot, and this... the only way I can describe him is a middle-aged stoner. That's the only way I can describe him. Was standing next to one of my friends and was mouthing off about me. And it was me, then my friend, and him. And we were just standing around the fire, and he just turned around and said to us, "So when are we going to the gay club?" And my friend's like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "When are we going to the gay club?" And she's like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" Sorry for swearing. if I can or not. And he's like, "I'm talking about your gay friend over there." And I turned around, I looked, I said, "What the fuck are you saying?" And he just started mouthing off, and I just kind of just shrugged it off. I was like, I didn't worry about it. And then probably it was about like, an hour later, he was mouthing off to my friend again. And then I had other people around me at the time, and they were sticking up for me and everything. And it kind of got to a point where I was like, I've had enough. I've copped this for quite a long time and I don't need this in my life. So I got to a point where I actually physically assaulted him. So I punched him in the face a few times and actually knocked him on the ground and had him up against the house. And probably shouldn't say it was my finest moment, but it was, because I felt like I was a tough one in this situation. But I think it kind of, at that point, it kind of gained me a lot of respect around the town. I think it gave the people a sense of that I'm not going to take anyone's shit, basically. That I can actually stick up for myself, and I'm not going to let someone else do it for me. I mean, like, I had one of my cousins down here was sticking up for me, and like my friends were sticking up for me, and I just thought this is a time for me to actually just do something about it. So I think, you know, as much as I don't like the fact that I used violence, I think it just kind of got the message out there that I'm not willing to take anyone's shit anymore. So, being a gay person myself, I'm always there to support, you know, anyone within that community, like no matter who it is. But I just don't think I've ever, you know, had the opportunity to be able to have friends like within that group, I suppose. I think it's just something that I've always just been, yeah, something that I've never really been a part of, I would say. So, yeah. And I think that does come from like growing up in such a small town that I've never, like, quite a while, never been exposed to. I mean, now it's quite different. Like, you know, things are obviously changing within our community and stuff. But haven't been, you know, I suppose introduced to that kind of group, I would say. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, with everything like with gay marriage passing through Australia and all that, I think the world is evolving. It is changing, hopefully for the better. I mean, you're still obviously going to have those small-minded people, those negative people that are going to have something to say about it. Not that it's really any of their business, but I think we've actually came a long way in a manner of speaking, like being able to be more open, be more free, have some independence with it all. I'm just hoping that, you know, things just pass along and just keep moving quicker. I mean, it's taken us how long to get to this point where it should have been done quite a long time ago. But I'm like saying that, like, glad that it's happening now. Better late than never, really. But we probably still do have a long way to go to be able to have that more freedom with everything else. So, yeah. Like you're still going to have those people that are going to be all negative about it and feel like that it's wrong or it shouldn't happen. But then again, it's not their business. It's not happening to them. It's got nothing to do with them. It's not hurting them. We're minding our business. We're doing what we want to do like they can. So what's stopping us from being able to do it? I suppose with everyone, it does take time for someone to kind of figure out who you are as a person, like whether you identify as straight, gay, bi, lesbian, whatever. I don't know, I think it's just part about the experiences and what you feel inside and all that kind of stuff that makes you kind of realise who you are. I mean, like, people should embrace who they are, not be so scared about it. The world is a scary place, I do find. I mean, there's been times where I've been, you know, scared to walk hand in hand down the street with my partner or wanting to kiss in the street. Not that I like a lot of PDA, but, you know, you still kind of get scared that someone's going to be watching and, like, you know, and harass you for that and, like, judge you for being who you are. But I just think for people, it just needs to be, you know, you'll eventually figure out who you are and just embrace it. Like, don't be scared. There are people out here that are obviously still experiencing the same things. Don't be afraid to speak up. You know, find someone to be able to speak with, talk about it. You know, you've got speak up hotlines or things like that. You've got your family, you've got your friends.
If you're struggling with your own mental health, please contact Lifeline on 13 1114 or Beyond Blue on 1300 224636. Both services are available 24/7. If you would like to tell us your story, share your experiences, or would just like to get in touch, you can email us at queerlifestories@outlook.com. Or you can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just search Queer Life Stories. You can hear future episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Please follow, subscribe, rate, review, and share. Queer Life Stories is a no-budget, one-man operation to produce, but you can support this podcast by subscribing to us at Patreon. That's patreon.com/queerlifestories. We will be back soon. Thank you for listening. Take care of yourself and each other.